D-Mace, Fingan, and Donick, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, and Adam Bingen here with you. So, in the previous segment I mentioned, Nick Suss of the Tennessean tweeted yesterday, "I've been jokingly referring to the Will Levis progressometer for a few weeks now, so I decided to actually make it." So he did. It's a scale of 1 to 10. And each number has its own description. So let's go through it now. 1 being the worst, 10 being the highest. 1. It's bad. It's so bad. How can it be this bad? Bench him now. He has no shot. 2. He's clearly not better than the other quarterbacks on the roster. 3. He's the best option the Titans have, but he's not getting any better. 4. It's a step back from last year. That's a problem, but he's capable of getting the job done. 5. He is who we already thought he was. 6. He's not on track to be a superstar, but he's proving he can get the job done with talent around him. 7. He's clearly learning what it takes on the fly, and by this time next year, he might be fully formed. 8. He's definitely better than his teammates and any other veteran the Titans could add next year. 9. If the Titans need him to win a game on his own right now, he might be able to. And 10. What are we even talking about? Dude's a stud. The championship window begins in 2025.
Championship!
So that is Nick Suss's Will Levis progress-o-meter from 1 to 10. So I want to do this exercise in three steps. The first step is I want to do this exercise on where you were on Will Levis prior to his injury against the Dolphins when he had to get out of the lineup. So we'll start there. We'll start with Willie. On Nick Suss's 1 through 10 scale, on the Will Levis progressometer, where were you on Will Levis before he was injured against the Dolphins?
This is where I think I try not to be fickle and put too much stock in one game. But there's no doubt that there was a low point in that Dolphins game. But I've always felt like he's been better than that. Like he just played awful up until that point. He had shown more flashes the previous year. And so I would say I was probably at a 3 at that point, and I'm probably up to a 4, 4.5 right now. And the beauty of playing for a team that's out of it, and I would apply this to Nicholas Petitfrere as well, as bad as he's been, they don't have anybody else. There's nothing else that they can do. You can't make a trade. You can't go to the minors and bring up 5 prospects. You are stuck with who you got. So he's going to get a chance to play and prove that he can up his grade point average.
Yeah.
I remember the guy in the Delta house at Animal House, "I'm sure the next midterms will really improve our average." And Dean Wormer's like, "Oh, no, no, but you are on double secret probation, man. I don't think so." But he's going to get a chance to play. So I think we've almost put too much stock in these last 2 games. Mm-hmm. They've been okay. But they scored 17 points, 7 of which came at garbage time, being fair. And I know they had some really bad calls. At the end of the day, they had 13 points. That's not – and the quarterback rating's not that great. The passer rating's not even that great last week, even though he flashes good stuff. So I'm not going to say, oh, he's coming around. It's a nice – it's a step forward. I got to see more, but the good news for him is he's going to – get a chance to take some more exams to improve his grade point average. So I'm at a 4.
Yeah, there was a reason why I asked Tim that question of where the ceiling was with Will Levis, because we've seen some good plays and we've seen some really, really bad plays let's say that. So I was just trying to figure out what does his ceiling look like from a former quarterback? Because to me, he would be, up until that point before the injury or whatever you want to call it, benching disguised as an injury, whatever you want to call it. At that point, I was more so of the, he's the best option, but he's not getting any better.
So you were at a 3.
Yeah, because I was looking at last season and then I started to look at this season and I'm like, man, he's regressing as a quarterback. It's one of those deals almost like the more you see him, the worse he gets. like a movie, the more you see of the movie, the worse it gets. It's like, maybe I should have turned the movie off halfway through, and then I would have had good thoughts about it. But I decided to watch it all the way through and end up being a bummer of a movie. That's where Will Levis was sort of trendy. Like, listen, if you would have stopped it at last season, then it would have been great. But you let the movie play out, and the movie's starting to look really bad now. That's where I was prior to him being injured and missing, what, 2 or 3 games. Since then, he's come back. I'm with Willie. I'm more like a 4, 5 possibly. Five is kind of hard to sort of reconcile.
He is who we already thought he was.
Exactly, because on one end, it could be, well, I thought he was a good quarterback, so that's what he is, a good quarterback. Right. On the other end, it could be, I thought he was a bad quarterback. Well, that's what he is, a bad quarterback. But I have seen some good play the last 2 games. It hadn't been great. It hadn't equaled to a win, but it hasn't looked like it has in prior weeks. So that's why I'm kind of torn between the number 5, because I can't necessarily say who he is who I thought he was, because I thought at the beginning of the season, before he even played, he was a pretty good quarterback. He just needed to learn some more. But then as he started to play, I'm like, man, he's taking a step back. So who is he? Nobody knows who the real Will Levis is. Nobody knows.
And I think, too, it's important to note that I think the tests, the exams, mm-hmm. will get a little easier down the stretch with who they're playing. Now, it'll be tougher in that if they keep losing players to injury and the team around him mm-hmm. starts crumbling and they don't have any depth to start with, that makes his job tougher. But mm-hmm. they have faced some very tough defenses the last couple of weeks. Really, really good challenges.
Well, he's only been a part of one of them.
Well, I think the Will Chargers Levis. Are pretty good. Like,
no, what I'm saying is he was only, well, two of them, but I was yeah. thinking more so of the Detroit and the Buffalo game.
Right,
he did
right.
That,
yeah. Rudolph had exactly. to take the heat on those two games. Exactly. So I think there is a chance to improve, and I think the question is going to be, can he get enough good grades in the meter for the coaching staff to say, let's roll him out there again next year, because we have so many other things that we've got to address, and to where he's not the guy that we have to get rid of. We'll take anybody except for him. If he can just get past that, he's so cheap next year, uh-huh. they might be better off using the assets that they have to address other needs. That's what he has to hope for. If he wants to keep the job, uh-huh. so to be.
If the Titans choose, if Will Levis finish out the season, and let's just say he plays okay, he doesn't play like he did the first couple of games, And you're asking your ticket payers, your fans, to be at the next year's game, because we're gonna trot Will Levis back out there once again, because yeah, he did make some progress. You better go get a better backup quarterback. That's what you need to go do. Listen, Mason Rudolph is who he is, but you need to go get somebody better than Mason Rudolph. Because if you run into a situation where you get into the season 3, 4, 5 games and it looks like, damn, he's not the guy, you better be able to turn to your backup and he can win you football games. So you better go out and get you a real number 2 quarterback. Not a guy that can play quasi number 2, but really a 3. You need to go get you a bona fide number 2, a guy that can come in and win you football games.
That's an interesting question, because what would the budget be in your cap? That would be what you would have to discuss.
I think you have to.
Because you have the luxury position, of Levis doesn't make any money. Yes. So you could spend
exactly.
a little more on the backup.
So
right?
And to me, that's going to be critical. You need to pay, I'm not saying overpay the guy like he's a starter,
right.
but you need to pay him enough money that entices him
I'm
to come in.
Backup.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I am getting
him.
A good backup that's going to push the quarterback, and if he falls into these same things that he's fell into this season, we can go to our backup and still feel comfortable about our team winning.
So what are you giving him, Adam? So when he left the game against Miami, I was at a 2. He's clearly not better than the other quarterbacks on the roster, because Mason Rudolph came in, and I used this word at the time, competent. which is a step up from what we had seen from Will Levis mm-hmm. at that point. So when Will Levis left the game against the Dolphins and Mason Rudolph came in and helped the Titans win their first game of the season, I was at a 2 with Will Levis. He's clearly not better than the other quarterbacks on the roster. Then I saw what Mason Rudolph had to go up against in the games that he did start. Now, he played some tough competition, the Bills and the Lions. And that changed my perspective on Levis maybe to a 3. He's the best option the Titans have, but he's not getting any better. I think over these past 2 weeks, I'm nudging towards 4, which is it's a step back from last season. That's a problem, but he's capable of getting the job done. I'm nudging there. The reason why I'm not fully there is because, as he said after the game the other day, he has not won a game this season. He does get credit, I believe, for the win at Miami because he was the starting quarterback in that game.
It's not like baseball where you have to go 5 innings to get the win.
Or hockey, where depending on what time
the goals are scored.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly.
You can't. It just, if you started the game and left on the second play of the game and your team happened to win, you would still be listed as 1-0 for that day as the starter, which is, something's wrong with that.
Yes, but he's been given one win this season, but he really didn't have anything to do.
He didn't get the win. He wouldn't be the winning pitcher in a baseball game. He didn't go 5 innings.
So he hasn't won a game this year, which is why I'm not quite at 4. He's capable. It's a step back from last year. That's a problem, but he's capable of getting the job done. I'm at like a 3.75. I think that the past two games have been encouraging relative to what we had seen from him previously. And I think that's the key term, relative, because he hasn't been spectacular in either game. He did make some really impressive throws against the Vikings. But as Derek said after the Chargers game, his passer rating was sparkling. But he wasn't winning football. It was not losing football, as Derek said. So I can't get to higher than where I am right now, which is like on the cusp of 4, until I actually see him win a game this season. So I would say from where I was on him, I mean, early in the season, he was a 1 when he was doing all of the things he was doing, turning the ball over in ridiculous ways. I would say that I got to a 2. I was probably at a 2 around the time of the Miami game. Rudolph's performances against tough competition gave me a more optimistic view of Levis, knowing that Rudolph wasn't clearly better than Levis. And I think the past few games have nudged me a little bit higher. So I would say I'm at like a 3.75.
If you hadn't watched the Titans all year long, which a lot of people don't from the outside, right?
Yeah.
You would look at these stats and you say, okay, there's 36 qualified quarterbacks in QBR. He's 35th. At 32.6, it would be easy to say, not going to make it. He's not the guy. But as we said, they don't have any other options. They have there's nothing better for them to do than to just play him. It's not even like they have a third guy that's young and say, well, maybe he'll be better. Like Danny DeVito or Tommy DeVito.
Tommy DeVito. Yeah, Danny too.
Tommy DeVito has gotten a chance to play the last couple of years simply because he's there, and they think maybe he's better than Daniel Jones. It's a bad choice.
I would love to see Danny DeVito.
I would pay good money to see Danny DeVito.
He would absolutely be the shortest quarterback in NFL history.
Yes.
Or ever in the history.
Doug Flutie's pretty short. Yeah. But
Kyler Murray's still short, too. Let's not forget.
He is.
Well, quarterback anyway.
But my point is this. He's going to play. So what – tell me what 6 is, because I think here's where we have to – this is the question. Can he get to a rating?
Yes.
In the coach's mind's eye and the general manager's mind's eye where that's enough to keep the job. He should get better by playing more, and he is cheap. That's what he brings to the table. And he does flash enough to be like, okay, I see the tools. So if he got to a 6.
Which is he's not on track to be a superstar, but he's proving he can get the job done with talent around him.
So if he's a 6 at the end of the year – would that be enough for him to be in the mix for next year?
I would think so.
Okay, here's a question for you.
Because he needs some good games. He needs some wins in there somewhere.
He needs, and he even said,
by the
like
way,
he's
Danny DeVito is 4'10", so he would absolutely be
short. Yeah. He would absolutely
be shorter than Murray and Flutie. Yeah.
And Will Levis even said, he's like, man, I'm chasing that win. Like, he wants it desperately, and I know he does. And you know, you sort of feel – you sort of feel bad for the young man because you know it's not because he doesn't want to. He wants to go out there and be a really good quarterback. He wants to win games, but it's just not happening for him. But this question probably more so is geared toward you, Willie, and Adam, you can't answer it because I think the second name I'm going to give, you can probably more talk on that than the first name. Willie, do you think he's better than these two guys? And both of them were Titans, and they got drafted by the Titans. Billy Volek and Marcus Mariota.
No.
You don't think he's better than either one of those guys?
Not at this point, no. I think could he get there?
Well, if he's not better than those guys, then
he's going to get
it's hard to even believe that he can be the franchise quarterback because one of the guys, not both, but one of the guys, Mariota, was considered the franchise quarterback.
Well, think of Marcus Mariota's best games. He had some good games.
He had some really he had a good season.
He had winning seasons. He had a playoff win. So there's a long way to go.
But I'm just saying his play. Not necessarily what like the wins and losses. I know the wins and
Mariota
losses were better.
Could have a dominating game with his legs.
How about Billy Volek?
Billy Volek could throw for 350. I mean, he was capable.
Exactly.
He was very capable of going on a good team and getting you a win. So I haven't seen Will Levis do that. No.
Okay.
Do you disagree?
No, I don't disagree. I'm looking at it from the standpoint of guys that the Titans have drafted that has been in his organization that I think would be closely resemble.
I thought you were going to say
Levis.
Zach Mettenberger or Jake Locker.
I could have threw Jake Locker in there as well. But I just think because Mariota has some success, Volek has some success.
Yeah, in less games.
Jake Locker didn't really have
a lot
of success.
Volek was never given the chance to start. Remember, he kind of got fired a couple of weeks before the season started. And that was a bold move by Jeff Fisher.
Exactly.
And it was not one that – it was kind of like, what? You know, all of a sudden they're like, you're fired. We're bringing in Kerry Collins.
If he can't exceed – or he hasn't up until this point, and you know our listeners may be thinking he I don't even think he can exceed Marcus Mariota. If he can't be better than Marcus or exceed what Marcus did, then he's not the franchise quarterback. Because as much as Marcus didn't have some of the tools, like he wasn't a great outside the numbers throwers. And I would always say that because in college, he always threw in between the hashes. That's what he did. Or if he threw it outside, it was a hitch and his receivers took it 90 yards, but he never perfected throwing outside the numbers. And it showed in the NFL. Well, Will Levis can do all of that. But Marcus had at least two good to okay seasons.
Sure he did.
Will Levis is trending toward having neither right now.
615-737-1025. Where do you stand on the Will Levis progress-o-meter as patented by Nick Suss of the Tennessean? Where are you now, 1 through 10, 1 being the worst, 10 being the best on that meter? And how far do you think he can climb over the course of the remainder of the season? We'll take your calls and texts on that at 615-737-1025. Tomorrow, it's your chance to participate in Preds Pick to Click. If you correctly guess a Preds player that scores a goal in the Preds game tomorrow night, you win a pair of tickets to an upcoming Preds home game. Participate with Robbie and Rexro tomorrow morning at 8:45. D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 1025-1063. The game, Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you talking Will Levis and Nick Suss's Will Levis progress-o-meter from 1 to 10. Our question to you at 615-737-1025, where are you now on this meter? Maybe where were you before Will Levis was injured and took a few weeks off? And where do you think he could get by the end of the season? Scott from Hendersonville is on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Scott, thank you for calling. Please go ahead.
I think, I'm probably at a 5, maybe even a 5.5, where, it was looking more like a 2.5 of before he got, before he sat a little while, but where I am right now, the big picture, I want him back next year anyway because, A, this is a terrible quarterback draft class, and, B, it doesn't really matter who you brought in. You could bring in Mahomes next year, and nobody's going to be successful. You need to rebuild the roster. You need to get a high draft pick, trade it down for more draft picks. You need a guard, a tackle, a tight end, not even to mention all the stuff you need on defense. You got to build something in place. So whether Will grows into the spot, or you need something, a shell of an offense to bring your next guy in if Will is not the guy, because right now it is just pathetic. You know, I'm hoping they get a high draft pick, and I'm hoping, like they should have the last 3 or 4 years, trade down for more picks. They're so terrible at picking. They need more swings of the bat, you know, to try and to hit on a few of these. But they've got to have another tackle. I hope they draft another left tackle and move Latham to right, and now you've got bookends. But right now, it doesn't matter who you get for quarterback. You know, the roster's so bad, it just doesn't matter.
Scott, thank you for your call.
I'm a little bit in that camp, uh-huh, only because you don't have. It'd be one thing if you had to re-up with Levis,
uh-huh,
and sign him to that next deal. Mm-hmm. You don't. That's the beauty of his contract. If you want to play this card, now you might decide there's somebody better out there,
yeah,
and you might make your move. But if you do go with what the caller just pointed
Scott.
Out, then that is the luxury you have. He'll be cheap again next year, and you can use those assets. If you want to draft a right tackle with the first pick, you can do that. A dynamic receiver, you can do that. And this roster is desperate for help through the draft. I think the encouraging thing, I heard Brian Callahan start to use this theme. Mm-hmm. He's saying, hey, I kind of like how Brownlee's developing. He's busting his butt. He's going through it. He looks like he could be a player. He likes what Sweat's doing. He likes what Latham's doing. There's some good signs of this draft. Nobody's, you know, hitting a grand slam, but these guys, I think, could be players that are useful players on a winning team, and you need to stack two or three more drafts like that before you really have a chance to win.
Well, the true assessment is going to be year two, and nobody can see it to a crystal ball to see what that year will, you know, sort of make out or work out to be for those individual players that you name. And he's right. You know, whether it's Sweat, Brownlee Jr., or Latham, those guys they're playing good football. They're getting better, it seems like, each and every week. But year two is the year that you know, you sort of make that leap, you know, that you need to make in this league. So, yeah, he has a few guys that you can sort of build with, not build on. The only guys you can build on is your quarterback. And right now, you know, judging by what some callers have said and texters, I think they're all in a camp that, at least now, they're all in a camp that sort of we're in between that 3 and 5 sort of ranking right now.
Chris is on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Chris, thank you for calling. Please go ahead.
Hey, guys. I kind of have to agree with the previous call. I'm at probably a 4 or 5 with Will at this point, where I was maybe a 2 earlier in the season. And we all can see what's going on with the offensive line. And that's where I've seen some improvement, particularly in the last 2 games. The offensive line play has not been better. I mean, he was sacked 8 times against the Chargers, 5 against the Vikings.
Yes, he's been sacked 12 times in the past 2 games.
I would say this about him, though, and the offensive line. I think we know the offensive line is going to be what it is for the rest of this year. And you hope that they'll make some improvement.
Thank you for calling, Chris.
But Chris points out something about the sacks.
Mm-hmm.
I look at plays in Sunday's game where I see Sam Darnold under some heat, mm-hmm, but manages to escape and make a play. I don't think that's a strength. I don't think Billy Volek. I don't think Will Levis is good at knowing where the heat is coming from. I think there are times where the right tackle, mm-hmm, and it's a revolving door, whoever
Ooh,
it is.
When you say right tackle, it just gives me the shivers.
But there are times where I'm trying to be fair to the right tackle and say the guy is actually, he's not whiffing. He's given him a chance, but Will Levis steps up into where the heat is. That happens a lot.
Yeah.
I would like to see him have a better sense of where is the space that I can step up. And it's hard because in his mind, he's probably saying, do I really trust that this pocket's going to hold up? No. And he has reason to think that way.
Yeah, he
but
has every reason.
There's quarterbacks, you know how they are, right? Mahomes is one of the best. Steve McNair was one of the greatest ever. Just you slide a little bit. And there are guys that aren't even good runners that know how to survive in the pocket. They shuffle, they move. It's just a couple of steps, but they feel where is the pressure coming from. Do you agree with me on that? I don't think Levis is effective shuffler in the pocket or an effective runner when you get down to it for a guy as athletic as he is.
He has no pocket sense based upon or his pocket awareness, his pocket spacing relative to where the tackles are and the rushes are. He's not good at that part. He's not good at knowing when it's time to, you know, slide left or slide right out of harm's way. I think he's so – I think at this point, he's just so too much conscious of what's going on the right side that he almost hampers his own self. He feels it even before it should be felt.
Yeah.
Like, he almost predicts it even before it happens. And sometimes it doesn't happen, but he has it in his mind already that I'm going to get pressure to my right side. So he ends up doing something that he shouldn't do. He ends up falling into it when he shouldn't fall into it.
I'll give you an example. Early in the game, they have a nice drive going. Mm-hmm. It's I want to say it's third and four from about the 11-yard line. They can get a first down. Mm-hmm. Minnesota, maybe off on the details here, but the point is it's a big third down, and Minnesota brings only three rushers. Mm-hmm. And Levis steps up in the pocket and walks right into where the pressure is in the interior. And if he could feel it a little more, I've seen Mahomes and Darnold did it early in the game. You spin outside. You know there's only three guys coming. Mm-hmm. You spin outside and roll, and you create more space because you know that's where the space is. The best quarterback, and who am I? I'm sitting here. I've never done it. I don't know what that's like. When I played in 7th grade and 9th grade, it was 1, 2, 3, throw, man. We only threw like 8 passes a game. So I don't know what this is like, but I see what other quarterbacks do, and I don't think Levis has that. I would love to see him take strides in that area. You should not get sacked on a 3-man rush if you know where the pressure is coming from. Even if you know your guy may not be able to hold
the
rusher.
But that's because he doesn't. His pocket.
He steps into
the
pressure.
His pocket presence and his pocket awareness isn't as good. He's like being on a golf course and you hear that, four, but you don't know where it's coming from. So you just automatically cover your head and the ball's nowhere near you. And then you all of a sudden you're like, okay.
Well, that wasn't even close.
Yeah. That's Will Levis. Before it even gets to him, He's tucking and ready for the big hit and it's not even coming. He did that, and I forget. I'm going to pull up that play. But he did it on one of the plays this past weekend where he curled up like a baby before the rush even got to him. And it was almost like he fell into the tackle. Not the tackler. He fell into the tackle because he anticipated a rush that wasn't coming. And then now you've already fallen into the sack, and it wasn't even a sack-worthy play.
That's where I'm trying to be fair to the right tackle. The right tackle is a disaster, we all agree, but there are a few times where I think the right tackle's got to be sitting there going, well, I had him. He was trying to go outside rush. I had him, and you stepped in and gave him an inside lane, and I can't cover both, right? I'm not John Hanna or Anthony Munoz.
But that's
Munoz
because he's shell-shocked right now when it comes to the rush. On that right-hand side, he's to a point now where he anticipates it even before it's there. Even if it's not pressure, he's anticipating that he's getting pressure, and sometimes he put himself in a position to get sacked. Now, that's sometimes. I'm not going to blame it on him all the time.
Right, it's not
but
all
sometimes
the time.
He puts himself in a position to be sacked. Why? Because he's anticipating that the right tackle is not going to be able to hold up.
By the way, calling the right tackle position a disaster is an insult to disasters. I think you might have to be.
What's another word?
And you've got Brian Callahan now openly saying it, which is probably not good for the guys that have to actually take that field for 7 more games. Like, they got to put a guy out there. So you have
just
who
don't
you
put
have.
Nicholas back out there.
And Brian Callahan has chosen to play the card. Like, he could have kept being positive and saying, look, Nicholas is trying. Petit Fred, PT, whatever you want to call it. Hey, he's working. He's working. We hope he's getting better. But his confidence is shot right now. And it's either Nicholas Petit Frere or a guy off the street, which they tried both on Sunday. Neither was good. But I'm curious to see what you get out of those guys, because that's going to be the thing. How much can you get out of a major, major weakness that's obviously hampering their game plan every week?
Derek, earlier you mentioned that the Titans need to sign a better backup quarterback next season to push Will Levis, or to at least, if that backup quarterback needs to get into the game, can provide, you know, more than competent quarterback play. We had a texter ask, you know, who are some of these backup quarterbacks that you speak of? Mm-hmm. And we were talking about how much you might have to pay that type of quarterback. Just for the purpose of this argument, Mason Rudolph, according to SpotTrack, his annual average value is under $3 million. It's $2.87 million. And here are some of the other quarterbacks who are coming available this offseason who could play backup quarterback, and here's what their teams paid them this season. Jacoby Brissett in New England is making $8 million a season. Marcus Mariota in Washington is making $6 million a season. Andy Dalton in Carolina is making $5 million per season. Carson Wentz is making $3.325 million in Kansas City. Mac Jones, roughly $4 million in Jacksonville. So Joe Flacco, $4.5 million in Indianapolis. So it seems like somewhere in that $4 to $6 million range is what you might have to pay a backup quarterback to get the caliber of backup quarterback that you want.
Yeah, you're going to have to. You get what you pay for. And, you know, they pay just under $3 million for Mason Rudolph, and that's what they're getting. That type of play from a backup quarterback. It's not great. It's not horrible. It's just competent football at times. And in this league, you need more than competent football, especially if you're in a position that the Tennessee Titans are in. I look at guys, you know, on that list, like a Dalton, and even Mac Jones. I would really be interested to see if the Titans would offer him a contract in free agency for this reason. Now, you're going to have to pay him some money, obviously. You got to pay him, you know, in between $5 and $8 million. But what Mac Jones does for this organization is he pushes your quarterback, who you want to be your franchise quarterback. He pushes him. But also, he's young enough to say, okay, if he doesn't work out and he's showing that, you know, this backup is showing that he can get job done, he's young enough that you can let him go in there and play. And he may end up somehow, some way, being your franchise quarterback. Because let's remember, Mac Jones hasn't always been bad. He was good his rookie year. And then for whatever reason, Belichick, who Jarrett wants to bring in some capacity, decided to start changing things on Mac Jones and not giving him a true bona fide offensive coordinator. And his play started to diminish from there. You get him a good offensive coordinator, an offense that some players around him, and let's see if he can duplicate what he did his rookie year in New England. Because I think Mac Jones is a good quarterback. He was just in a bad situation after his rookie season.
615-737-1025. We'll continue to take your thoughts on Will Levis and the Titans on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. This week's Nashville's best deal is Bavarian Beer House, Nashville's only authentic German beer hall, a place full of fun, food, music, and most importantly, beer. Enjoy traditional German beer, brats, giant pretzels, and more in their expansive beer hall and garden. Head to thegamenashville.com/deals now to get a $50 gift card for only $25 to Bavarian Beer House while supplies last. D. Mace, Vingen, and Donick, 1025-1063. The game, Willie Donick, Derek Mason, and Adam Vingen here with you, talking Titans, talking Will Levis, talking Nick Suss's Will Levis progressometer over at the Tennessean. Dylan texted in earlier and said, I would give him a 6. I'm optimistic about him and have seen his great plays as well as his mistakes. He seems to have corrected some mistakes, but due to the talent around him, I feel like it is also limiting him, and he is unable to perform at his best to show me whether he is a 7 or more, or possibly a 5 or less. So that's a big part of it. And that's the hard part for me in terms of evaluating the performance of Will Levis. How, like, I wish there was a formula, and there might be a formula out there, Willie. You are in tune to this stuff. on the football side, there might be a formula out there that said, let's just say we gave the Titans a league average offensive line. Like, I don't know what that number is. I don't know how you formulate that. But let's just say we gave him a league average offensive line, maybe in terms of PFF grades or something like mm-hmm. that, versus the, you know, the revolving door at right tackle and all of the problems that the Titans offensive line has had. If you gave Will Levis a league average, a replacement level offensive line, how much better do you think he would be? I feel like that's a hard question to really answer.
I think it is, because we haven't seen it. We have seen Will Levis in spurts play well, but we haven't seen him consistently do the things necessary to put the team in a winning position, regardless of how the offensive line is blocking or not. I think sometimes you got to look at the quarterback position from this standpoint. Like, beside what is happening in front of him, and listen, I understand that's a big deal, what's happening in front of him. How is he processing everything as a quarterback? Is he putting you in good positions or in bad positions? Is he reading the coverage right, or is he not reading the coverage right? Because that has nothing, that doesn't solely depend on whether your offensive line is good or not. Because, you know, Adam, you read the numbers as far as him holding on to the ball. We thought he was holding on to the ball a lot. But come to find out, he's not holding on to the ball nearly as long as we thought he was holding on to the ball.
Right. We read before the game against the Vikings that Levis's time to throw before – this was before the game the other day. His time to throw was actually among the quickest in the NFL and quicker than it was last season. But the number – the sack percentage – is also near the top of the league, which I thought were diametrically opposed. How can he be getting rid of the ball quicker
and getting sacked more often?
He is behind only Deshaun Watson in percentage of the time that he is being sacked, just over 13%.
Yeah, so, I mean, when you're looking at Will Levis, when he does, when things are working at its best, and I know a lot of times it hasn't, but when things are working at its best, how does Will Levis look? I think he's, I don't think it's nothing to write home to your mama about or your parents, but I don't think it's something that, you know what, you package him up and send him on his way either. It's just been, Can you win with, in this league? No, you can't win with, You need somebody.
You better have a hellacious roster around that.
Absolutely. Yeah. You better have a damn good roster if your quarterback is playing football.
Right. So this goes back to our discussion about Sam Darnold, mm-hmm. who, if he's available, somebody like that. And Darnold has made strides. I think we would have thought total bust mm-hmm. before. And now you're like, okay, you got a hellacious defense with the Vikings.
Yeah.
You got a hellacious wide receiver that he's throwing to and a pretty decent running game. I thought an offensive line that looked competent, and you've got an 8-2 record with Darnold playing pretty good quarterback. So if you're looking at the Titans next year and your options are to pay a Darnold, a middle of the road starter, big money, big-ish money, not what you're paying Tua or Jordan Love or some of these guys that just signed, but that middle class number, hoping for a Baker Mayfield kind of thing, I think you have to take a look and say, well, what does our roster look like around that guy? Or are you better off hoping that Will Levis progresses to a 6 where you get the but he's cheap.
Yeah.
So I'd rather have a cheap than a expensive.
Yeah. No, you're right. You're right about that. As my kids and my son say, man, Dad, that was mid.
Yeah, that was mid.
I've come to find out that mid is not good.
You don't want to be mid. Yeah, it's not good at all.
You definitely don't want to be overpaid mid.
Exactly.
If you're mid, then at least you want to be a bargain mid.
Is mid worse than skippity toilet? Is that a thing? Oh. Is that a thing that kids say these days?
I haven't heard my kids say skippity toilet, but
yeah,
mid is like the bad, I guess.
You're just mid. You're just in the middle.
Yeah,
you're
just mid. This is nothing spectacular.
My son isn't old enough for slang yet, so I don't know any of these things. Based or skippity toilet. I get mid, though. I'm not that much. I'm not that old, but even some of this slang is above my head.
But I mean, listen. If you have a, you know, if Will Levis turns out to be this season or mid this season, I think you have to you have to go into the offseason thinking we need to have a better backup option just in case. Again, I'm not saying that. You know, you just totally dismiss Will Levis after the season, depending on how he plays. Now, if he falls off the cliff again, then, yeah, you got to dismiss him. But if he just continues incrementally getting better and yeah, you may not be winning, but he's not making those same mistakes, then I think if you want to roll him back out there next year, you have to have something that the fans can look at and say, okay, if Will doesn't work out the first five or six games, at least we got a more than comparable backup that can come in and keep the ship afloat and us win some games.
Howie from Houston is on our phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Howie, thank you for calling. Please go ahead.
Yeah, what's up, guys? My pleasure. Hey, first of all, man, y'all are wearing the long sleeve shirts in Houston. I am jealous of you. We are hoping, we hope every year for the winter, the fall to come, and maybe February comes, so y'all looking comfortable. Jealous over here. Maybe it'll come in February. But so on my on the Will Levis progress-o-meter, here is my take. You know, it's when you go to the doctor for your checkup and they check your heartbeat, you know, with your blood pressure, and you can see the little odometer kind of go boop, 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 just a little bit. That's where I'm at with Will Levis. It's just kind of ticking. He has a heartbeat now. Where he was dead.
You're saying he was close before. To flatline. You had to get the paddles out.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. He was close to gone in the grave, but now a heartbeat. So I have him at 6.5, where he is what he is, but he could be a guy. Could be 7.
Interesting.
So, okay. My question. I have a question, if you don't mind.
No, go ahead.
We're discussing options at quarterback. To go forward, what if we went another direction? You know, a rookie is also cheap too. And if, say, we are in the range of a quarterback that's draftable in the first round, would we maybe go that option of drafting Cam, but also maybe a Shedeur Sanders, and then maybe have them both duke it out for the future of the quarterback? Love your thoughts on that, guys. Thanks for the show. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Howie. Thank you. And you know what they say. Howie is saying that Will Levis has risen from the ashes. Mm-hmm. Without ashes to rise from, a phoenix would just be a bird getting up.
Yeah, pretty much so. So what you're calling Will a phoenix?
Yes. Okay. Is he rising from the ashes?
Yeah, I guess
so.
He's
a rising phoenix.
Okay, but Howie did make an interesting comment toward the end. Drafting, because, you know, we've been talking about, you know, the Titans potentially getting one or two. If they get number one, package it all together, move out of that. And I'm sure you will be moving no further than probably fifth or sixth. And they don't look at both of these quarterbacks. Even though I do like Shedeur Sanders, the more and more I'm starting to think about it, it's like, can he operate outside of an offense that isn't spread five wide out? Can he operate in a true sort of NFL offense, three wides, maybe sometimes four, but we're not spreading out every play like they do in Colorado. So I still believe he's a first rounder, top 10 pick, but I'm not sure that he's a number one pick at this point. So if that's the case, if I'm thinking that way, you get the number one pick, you package it out, move to 5, 6, 7, you get your draft, you get your draft picks, and then you still may be in a position to draft one of these quarterbacks, Shedeur Sanders or Cam Ward or the kid yours in at Texas. You still can draft your first round quarterback and get other players, because what you have done, you've accumulated draft picks. So you can do that. You can serve both purposes. You can get the picks, and you still can get your quarterback later in the first round.
Right. I think that's what you're weighing, is how do our people evaluate those guys, the quarterbacks that are available, versus if Will Levis gets to a six, and you're saying, could he be a – what's more likely to happen? That guy we want to draft is worth the pick and can be better than Will Levis? Or what? Is there a better chance that Will Levis as a six could maybe get to a 7 with another year, and we use those picks that we get to improve the roster around him. Those are the things you're trying to weigh.
615-737-1025. For all who love chaos, and I don't know if you know this about me, I love chaos. Some would say
what?
I even love maximum chaos. The SEC standings, that's the place to be if you love chaos. We'll discuss the state of the SEC next. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025-1063, The Game.